Somebody say Happy Mother's Day. To talk about love today. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians and just kind of landed on chapter 13 on Mother's Day. So it's a kind of a fitting thing. Usually I don't try to do that, but it just worked out that way today. You have a definition here of love, but we're going to see God's definition of love and the central importance of love as part of our Christian life. John in 1 John 4:7, right, says, "Beloved, love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the person that doesn't love, he doesn't know God, for God is love." And it's just, you know, so beloved, love one another. And it's just a core part of Christianity. And Paul's been going through, in chapter 12, he went through quite a dissertation on gifts. And he gave us all these gifts. And then we see, you know, we've been talking about this for a few weeks, so this is not new to most of our folks. But you have all these gifts. And there's many other gifts in the Bible that are mentioned, and we, you know, there's no exhaustive list. And we can only say God can gift only as big as he is. So as broad and wide and deep as God is, that's how broad and deep and wide his gifting can be. And, you know, at the end of chapter 12, after Paul talks about the gifts and he talks about the body, the last line that he says there, and it really belongs to chapter 13, is that now I will show you the most excellent. And the most excellent way is about love. And he tells us how central love is to the Christian service. And I mean how you serve one another and how you serve your families and how, you know, we live in our home or work in different places. You know, love makes everything right, and without it, nothing's right. So he's, you know, and I can easily slip into King James with these verses, you know. Though I speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels, and I have not charity, I have become a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, have not love, I gain nothing. It's just, you know, again, all that we've been talking about gifts, and gifts are so important to the church. God gifts people to help us through this world and through this life, to give us wisdom and guidance and strength and encouragement and so many wonderful things that he does. But here Paul says, I don't care what your gift is. I don't care what you do in service. If it's not done with love, it means nothing. Just think of that, you know. One of my little tasks around here is to cook on Wednesday nights, and that's not my favorite thing, you know. It's like, and those who put up with my dinners know I'm not a great chef, right? We have Chef Dan. Now Dan has got a good gift. He makes a good pastry every Wednesday or so, and so, you know, but when I'm doing that, I have to remember, you know, you don't do anything out of constraint. You don't do anything, you know, with a grumbling heart. Everything we do in service to others has to be done in love. And I remember that as I'm doing it. You say, yes, this is for the family. This is for God's people. This is, you know, and it's as important in some ways as preparing sermons and things like that, right? So again, sir, there was Brother Lawrence, who wrote a book called Closer Than a Brother. And he's just talking about, no matter what you were doing, he was talking about practicing the presence of God. You know, just if he's washing dishes, he was washing dishes before the Lord. You know, Paul tells us, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, right? And so, you know, that has to be engaged with love, that whatever we do. So here, and these are gifts that he's mentioned, you know, tongues, which is a gift that basically it's between you and God. God, you know, you speak to God, or sometimes you speak a foreign language that some people can understand and hear the gospel, like in Acts chapter 2. But anyway, it's a marvelous gift. But he says, if I don't do that, if I'm not speaking by the Spirit and in love, he says, It's nothing. I'm just making noise. He says, if I'm a genius, right? If I know everything, I can prophesy, I can which in most cases means preach. I can preach, I can understand the scriptures, I can read them in Hebrew and Greek and do all these things. If I have faith that can move mountains or bridges away, you know, but just, you know, if I have faith like that, he says, and I don't have love, I am nothing. Just think of that, all these powerful, wonderful gifts, and if it's not done in love, if there's some other motive behind it. I think about, you know, people speaking sometimes just, you know, for worldly gain or vain glory or something like that. It's like, what a waste. What a waste. That's not what it's about. It's supposed to be about, and, you know, I have to confess, like sometimes when I'm preparing sermons and I'm thinking about how things might go, I might get nervous, but, you know, when I think about that, I think, you know, who am I nervous for? I should be nervous about God helping you more than whether I look foolish or not, right? And so, yeah, and usually when I go to another church, that's where I'm worried about, so who is this guy? But the idea of whatever we do, it's got to be about others, right? It's not about, so love is something, and we're going to see as God defines it for us here, how awesome love is, but it's never self-centered. I think the difference between human love and God's love is other-centered. You know, God didn't need a savior. Jesus didn't need to die for himself, right? I needed a savior. And God was thinking of me and he was thinking of you when he sent Jesus from heaven to earth, when Jesus endured all that he endured. And then God glorified him, you know, but all of that was about us. You know, and so that's God's love. It's like that. And so often, right, that's how God's love is defined, that he gave his son, that he demonstrated his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Right? Some of our kids know that verse. If I give everything I have to the poor, and we believe in doing ministry, we've got our friends from Africa here, we're trying to help them. We've got other friends in Africa we're trying to help. And that, to me, is the heart of Christ. But if it's done well, I feel guilty if I don't do it. What a waste. What a waste. If I do it because I feel like I have to, no, that's not Christ. That's not Christ. Some people might call it white guilt. You know, I feel guilty because I, you know, that's not Christ. Christ loves. Christ cares. Christ can't think about people in need or struggling without saying, you know, let me stand in the middle of that people and bless them. He says, if I give everything that I have, even my body, and it's interesting, I won't go into the translation, but it's kind of weird, my body to the flames, but it really says, if I give my body, and I think it just means if I give totally who I am, and you know, in order to boast before the Lord, that's literally what it would say. But he says, I have nothing if I don't have love. All the giving, all the caring, all the sharing. I think about the world and the difference between Christian justice and social justice is huge. Christian justice comes from the heart of God. Social justice comes from guilt, shame, you name it. It comes from trying to glorify a company, trying to glorify something other than God. Christian justice comes from the heart of God. It comes from God's love. And it does awesome things. You know, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 just talks about, you know, how Christians owe it to one another to share what they have with people that don't have. And that, but if it doesn't come from God's love, it's worldly, it's worthless, it's nothing. He says, I gain nothing. You know, I want to gain something. I want to gain the kingdom of God. And I don't get it by paying money to people who do it. But I gain it by having the love of God and the mind of God and God's will and purposes in our lives. That's how we gain. And if we replace that with something else, no good. So he defines love for us. And this, you know, it hasn't been that long that I went through this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude and act shamefully is really a better translation. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, provoked. You know, you're not easily upset by somebody poking at you, pushing your buttons, right? It keeps no record of wrongs. I think about this, and I think, you know, especially young people that are here today, because, you know, you think about love in a certain way. You know, you've got a fleshly kind of desire sometimes that people mistake for love. But look at this list. Think of this list. Think of what, this is God's love. This isn't human passion. This is God's love. It's directed by God. And if you think about what happened, you know, one, it's patient. And patient, macrothumia, means it takes me a long time before I get angry, right? If you're, you know, hanging with somebody and every word you say turns into a fight, that's not macrothumia, right? And you don't want to live in that relationship. It's not love. Love is patient. It takes a long time. It's kind. It's considerate. Remember I said, you know, it's always thinking of others. You know, I used to think, and I'm, you know, I put myself on a list here, but, you know, I used to think that if I washed dishes at the house, I was doing my wife a favor. You know, and I realized, well, half of these dishes are mine. You know, I was like, you know, and you know, it's like, you know, no, I'm just kind of helping out. But thinking about, you know, others, being kind, not boasting, not proud, not rude, you know, doing things. One of the things I realized in these lists, I kind of break it into, you know, some of these things you'll never really have a fight. Because usually when we fight about something, it's because, you know, you upset me. You didn't do what I wanted, you know, or, right? And it becomes this selfish kind of thing, and there's no room for that here. There's no room for that. I find myself sometimes, you know, having bad thoughts, you know, selfish thoughts, and if the Spirit of God checks me and say, you know, what are you thinking about? You know, it's all about you, isn't it? It's all about what you want. And I say, no, Lord, it's not. You know, I don't want to be like that, right? And yeah, not self-seeking. It's not just what I get. It's the mind of Christ thinking of others. Not easily angered, you know. And the last one, keeps no record of wrongs. Everybody should write that one down, underline it, you know. Keeps no record of wrongs. I am really thankful to have a pretty poor memory sometimes. Sometimes people have to remind me of what somebody is. Oh, really? That's right. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You know, and that can be a blessing, right? Because if you know, and we see people apart from Christ, people that live with anger, resentment, you know, and they'll talk about what somebody did to them. Worst case ever, this lady was just talking about some guy that really did some evil stuff, and you know, and I said, well, you know, you got to forgive that person. You gotta, you know, get past it. Well, they've been dead for 10 years. What are you doing? Who are you hurting? You're not hurting that person. You're hurting yourself. Let it go, right? Don't keep record of wrongs. We all make enough mistakes in a single day not to have to worry about every mistake we've made in our lives, right? So he goes on, he says, love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And there's a broken kind of love in the world, right? Where, and we can kind of see it in some young people, not nobody here, I'm sure, but you see it in young people where parents have just said, oh, whatever you do is okay, honey. And they let them just be what they want to be, do what they want to be, unfettered, uncorrected. My parents called it, you know, teaching us to be independent, which meant just letting us go and sin, you know. Not good. Not good. Does not rejoice in lies or evil, but rejoices in the truth. The truth is if you know, somebody that you love is messing up their lives and you don't tell them, you're guilty, right? Truth has to do with caring enough, loving enough to say, listen, you can't be like that. You can't do that. That's not pleasing to God. And to be honest with them, right? It always protects. And again, I'm talking about, you know, it's not always huggy, huggy, kissy, kissy. Sometimes it's, you know, watch out. Don't go there. You know, stay away. I always think about the little kid headed for a bleach bottle, right? What kind of a parent says, oh, go ahead, you know? No. You put a special lock on the cabinet door. You scream, stop, don't go there. You know, don't ever touch that bottle. You protect. I love this one. Always trusts. Always trusts. Love without trust isn't love. And again, jealousy, rage, that kind of stuff breaks in. Trusts, hopes. I love, that's a great word. You know what hope is, don't you? It's future. You never hope for something you already have. It's always future. And you have these relationships with people. And this is, he's talking about the church, but we can see it's in the home, it's at work, it's different. And we always hope, love hopes that things will work well for that person, that they'll grow where they need to grow. They'll be what God wants them to be. You know, it always hopes. It always perseveres, meaning it goes through stuff. Think about God's love for a minute. How many times have you disappointed God? How many times have you not done what you should have done or done what you shouldn't have done? And yet, if you have the Spirit of God and you are talking to God and worshiping God, you hear him say, I still love you. I still care for you. You're still mine. Perseveres. And the main way we know the difference between God's love and human love, love never fails. Love never fails. This is so important, this idea of love. Now, Paul's talking about using love in everything that we do, service to one another, as we share Christ, but it's not confined to a building. It's our lives, how we treat a neighbor, how we treat children around us, how we treat our family, and on it goes. Every environment we're in, love is so important. He says love never fails, right? But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things behind me. I put away childish things, King James. The idea is, this is why I call this already, not yet. The gifts that we talked about in chapter 12 and all the gifts, whether it's preaching, serving, giving, sharing, all those gifts, they're for now. And that's what he's talking about. He says, preachers are not going to be necessary in heaven. You know that? What are we going to say? Know the Lord. Well, there he is, better than ever, right? Be filled with the Spirit. Oh, the whole planet is filled with the Spirit. Awesome. There's so the gifts are for here and for now. Now we need gifts to guide us, to help us through. Then we'll know and we'll look at the glory of God, right? Now we're like children, and I suppose it's like a 3 or 4 year old child. That's what the most mature of us is. The most mature of us is a 4 year old, all right, in God's eyes. So then we'll be fully grown. We'll be mature. Why? Because we're going to be with our Father in heaven. We're going to be in the glories of the kingdom, right? He says, now we use the tools God gave us. We use the gifts of the Word of God, the gifts of preaching and teaching and singing and so many gifts. We've talked about that. We need those. Then we shall really possess everything we need. The full, absolute presence of God, right? So God is, using gifts now. They have to be used in love. And one day, all those precious gifts are going to go away. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. And back then, they didn't have mirrors like we do. They had pieces of metal that you polish. I didn't know my nose was sideways. A poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. We talk about the things that we can take with us, right? Faith means looking forward and trusting that God is going to do what he promised. In the kingdom of heaven, God has already done what he promised. Hope is like looking forward to God fulfilling his promise and the hope, as Paul said, that I will attain the resurrection of Christ. Future. But once I've attained the resurrection of Christ, love. Love goes into the eternal. Love is a characteristic of God that will be with us forever. When they tell you you can't take it with you, they're wrong about love. They're wrong about the Holy Spirit. But that's about it. Everything else we take, you know, leave behind. So Paul just wants us to know how important love is to the community of Christ, to being a Christian. And it's not human love. I hope you young guys get that, right? There's a huge difference. Look at these verses. There's a huge difference in what human love does. Unfortunately, it often fails. Unfortunately, it disappoints. God's love maintains us, keeps us, and will stay into eternity with his love. Amen. Amen.